Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. It's a smoky, hazy, chaotic Thursday morning here in the downtown studios of Panhandle Community Radio.
My microphone is falling apart right before our very, I can't say eyes, how about voices?
Yeah. I'm Jack, and that's Jim, and we are here with, we're talking to a few people, representatives of Sandemonium, a sci-fi and comic convention going on at the charter school, at the Forest Inver Charter School. Is the location. But first, let's talk about the weather.
Why?
Yeah. Why bother? No, it's not as bad as it was last week. There's some hope. We have haze today, haze tonight, haze tomorrow, haze Friday night.
No. The adjective widespread.
Yes. There's the haze is ongoing. High of 83 degrees today, cooling off to 71 tomorrow, 70s through the weekend. And then we do have a slight chance of showers on Saturday night, about 10% on Saturday night, which could break up this haze a little bit. That chance of showers continues into Sunday, and then a chance of thunderstorms on Sunday night. Chance of
no lightning.
Let's hope. Who knows, Jim? I'm not in charge.
You should be.
I should be. Somebody should put me in charge. But we have, there is a chance of thunderstorms, mostly a slight chance of showers starting on Saturday night and continuing through early next week. So probably there will be some rain, but who knows where or when or how much.
Are you getting tired of the smoke and haze?
Can you hear it in my voice? I'm getting very tired of the smoke and haze, yes.
Well, you know, I went up on Sunday huckleberry picking up on Schweitzer and hiked up to Stella Six Pack, which is quite a hike. And you get up there, and there's no vista. You may as well be in Kansas or Nebraska.
Would you say you're up above it, looking down on like a cloud? You're in it.
In it. And I didn't think that it was tiring me out, but when I got home at the end of the day, I was exhausted, and I'd like to attribute it not to my age, but to the smoke and haze.
Yeah. Felt like you'd smoked a pack of cigarettes on your
hike. Took me back to those days. You bet it did. And the berries were not very plentiful and not plump. We need the rain to plump the berries.
Yes, and to hopefully alleviate some of this widespread haze.
Whenever you say that, I think of widespread panic.
Yeah,
the group. The you know, but since we're a radio station, let's begin. I can't wait to talk with Tara Milheim. She is the secretary, and Cameron Rasmussen, a co-chair of Sandemonium. That's taking place like real quick, right, Cameron?
That's right.
Okay. Which one of you want to jump in and give an overview of Sandemonium?
Well, all right. I guess that's going to be me. Sandemonium started now 4 years ago. It began as an event that the library was putting on. And some of the folks at the library got in touch with me and thought that that was something that I might be a helpful partner on.
Why you?
You know, I still don't know why exactly they picked me. I do know that because the reader had just started up and we were doing a lot of things with the library at the time, I was a natural partner for them. But I don't know if somehow, you know, in our interactions, they just eyeballed me and said, oh, yeah, that guy's definitely a nerd.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He can help with a thing or two about this. So
going to say, you know, the use of the word nerd. Now, is that a compliment?
Well, it's becoming more and more of a one, I would say. A lot of people wear it as a badge of honor.
How about you, Tara?
Yep, I wear nerd proudly. I call myself a nerd. I call other people nerds as a compliment. So.
Now, have you been a four-year, have you been with the get-go on this?
I was not part of the first year. But I've been part of the last 3 years.
Okay. So. And the Sandemonium is a single day event?
Yep. It's happening this Saturday at 9 a.m. and it goes
till September 25th.
September 20 or August 25th. Oh my Please gosh. Don't make this month go. Oh
my. I just think a whole bunch of junior high and high school kids just collapsed on the floor someplace. I wrote down September something the other yesterday when it should have been August. So it's this Saturday, August 25th.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we've got like
at
Forestburg Charter School.
Okay, and if one doesn't know where that is located. Who's a good direction person here?
It is a little tucked away. So if you're heading out of town, like you're going to Dover on Highway 2,
okay.
Then you'll want to turn left at that light. And there's actually signs to the charter school from there. And it's just tucked back in there on Ontario.
So there'll be stoplight at the stoplight at Division and Highway 2.
Highway, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, Division, and so there'll be signs directing people. Yep. To Sandemonium.
We've got signs directing people to Sandemonium and our overflow parking if for some reason we get a lot of people in, which we're hoping to.
And if you're heading to Dover, it'll be on the left. And I want to say it's the first left, but I could be wrong on that. But I think that's where you head back. I think it's the first left if you're heading on that road. But follow the signs.
Yep.
Okay, starts at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. What happens?
We'll have an opening ceremony and where we just kind of introduce and talk about some of the things going on throughout the day. We've got a lot of panels going on, a lot of things going on the main stage, a band, improv, that kind of a thing. So
cool.
Live gaming.
The opening ceremony, does it start with like the Imperial March from Empire Strikes Back?
The fanfare.
I think, did we get the 501 first? Because I think they're coming.
That's still unconfirmed. Oh, okay. They're still working on that. Okay. But but last year we did have Darth Vader and some Stormtroopers
yep,
show
we
up.
Did.
So, yeah.
Cool. People can get pictures with Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is, right before the show started, I was asking Tara if this is the second or third year. It's the fourth year.
Yep.
Fourth year.
Time flies.
It yes. really does.
Other than the change of venue, what's changed? What have you learned over the 4 years?
You know, it's really been a learning process. And one of the things that we've been really focusing on this year in particular is outreach and getting out there and making sure that we're, you know, engaging with people, not just during the time of the event, but basically for a significant part of the year, and keeping the Facebook page active and, you know, sharing all the funny, nerdy memes about, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or video games or you know, now that we have a million comic book movies coming out every year, that's pretty easy supply of material. So, yeah, it's just making sure that we're kind of a constant source of engagement for, you know, people who have those interests.
Yeah.
And but other than that, you know, we've just been, I wouldn't say it's been a matter of making drastic changes so much as it has been just constantly refining this process and making things a little bit smoother, a little bit more foolproof, making sure that you know, we are very clear about where people should be parking, where they should be unloading all of their, you know, booths and materials and things like that. Of course, every year presents a new challenge, and we kind of do a little bit of improv and are fast on our feet to figure it out. So, yeah, it's a good time. It keeps you on your toes.
Who's your audience?
Well, you know, we're definitely a family event, and so that's a big thing. You know, we get a lot of families, a lot of people, you know, bring, you know, the kids and the parents, they all come together, and sometimes they coordinate costumes. It's the other thing we should be probably talking about is cosplay, because that's pretty huge. It's one of the reasons that people really like these things. So
that's sort of, when you sent me the email, I saw a cosplay. And, you know, I take it that's a person in the know knows. So what, talk about cosplay.
All right. Should I take this one or?
Either one of us.
All right. Well, yeah, cosplay is a, it's something that kind of sprang out of the, convention scene, especially in the bigger cities, and it's
San Diego.
Especially San Diego. That's where the kind of the preeminent Comic-Con came to be. And so, but anyway, people just, it seemed like a very natural movement of people dressing up as, you know, their favorite comic book characters at first, and then as Comic-Con expanded into basically all pop culture, you know, people expanded that to, you know, characters from movies, books, video games, things like that. You know, anything that has a really a lot of striking character designs, people just really go crazy about trying to put together the most elaborate costumes.
Who are the popular characters? I mean, I'm sure it's sort of like Halloween costumes. When we give out candy every October, the last day in October, we say, oh, this year it's, look at, and oh, next year it's ladybugs. No, it's princesses. Who are the biggies?
I think last year we had a lot of Star Wars and like little Rays running around, like the little girls that dress up like Rey from Star Wars.
Okay.
And some,
well, Star Wars offers you a gazillion opportunities.
Yeah. So many.
What do you run around as?
I actually just run around like a chicken with my head cut off because most of the time I'm trying to keep things together. Okay. So I usually wear my Sandemonium t-shirt and so the people know that I'm a person they can talk to, and we have badges and stuff. So that, I run around as a con committee member trying to
how about Cameron?
I also don't really do anything special in terms of costuming, but I did. I am ashamed to say that I, until now, I didn't even wear anything kind of nerdy. But but this year I am planning, because a friend of mine from Texas ended up seeing something that reminded her of me, and she sent me a shirt with a character from my favorite anime, which is Cowboy Bebop.
Okay.
And and so that's got Spike, the main character from that, on it, and so I'll be wearing that. I think it's no better time to bring it out.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about nerd, because when I was growing up, and a nerd was somebody who had a pocket guard for their pens and had a slide rule hooked onto a belt. Has that changed?
I completely think so, because, you know, it used to be nerd was obsessed with that academic, you know, thing. So it was like chess club and mm-hmm. learning things, mm-hmm. where that part hasn't really changed. It's just expanded. So now they want to be obsessed with the comic book or a movie or a certain type of video game or something, and they play it to completion. And now there's artwork that comes out if you're a fan of something. It's just mostly just being really enthusiastic about
really
something.
Really obsessed about.
Yeah, about something. And like the whole just nerd culture, it's almost like you can go back and forth. It's a lot of the similarities between them.
Can nerds spot one another in a crowd?
Usually we're wearing a t-shirt that says like Doctor Who or something, so yes.
I mean, oh yeah, I'm usually undercover. I just don't, yeah, I'm not a big t-shirt person, but this time it changes. Yeah. So yeah,
I was thinking Cameron, Clark Kent would have been such a natural
fit. Get you some glasses.
Know, yeah, just put on some glasses and be your regular reporter.
I did get a lot of Clark Kent comparisons when I started wearing glasses at the beginning of, I think, this year or last year, something uh-huh. like that. Yeah, so I was wearing those all the time at the time, and
yeah,
it was just a natural comparison, yeah. I guess.
So besides cosplay, what else is happening during the day?
We have open tabletop gaming. There we have a crew called Defortification that is coming in, and they're running a bunch of Dungeons & Dragons modules, so like campaigns. So people can come in. It's almost like a restaurant setting. So they come in and they sign up and like a reservation, and then they can come in and play. When they have pre-made characters, so they can sit there and play Dungeons & Dragons. And if you've never played before, that's perfectly fine too, and they'll talk you through it. And they've got, I think, four tables of that going on. So we
and
can
how
keep
many
people
players
going.
Per table?
I don't know if they have like a specific number, but I think just like 4 to 6, somewhere around there, is what they're aiming for. They don't want to get too many people, because then not everyone gets a turn and has mm-hmm. issues getting things moving along. But yeah, and that's something like families can do together.
Is Dungeons and Dragons one of the oldest in terms of longevity, in terms of games being played?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I'm thinking so. It's just more of like, it's kind of just made a more of a comeback recently. You know, some of those things
the
in
the
70s and 80s, you know, and then like it just comes back and they're like, yeah, this is awesome.
I think people are looking for those social kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason, you know, that we enjoy doing this event is that, it's when you don't have anyone who shares the interests that you have, it can be an isolating experience. And so we really do take a lot of enjoyment in providing a forum like this where people can really just get together and hopefully make some new friends or meet somebody who enjoys the same things as them.
Jack, have you been a D&D player?
Never have. Have you?
Never. You know, I mean,
should this apparently beginners are welcome.
Well, I've never been a gamer. I've only been a comic book and a graphic novel sort of person. And it's never too late to develop.
Yeah.
Do you want to go
try
meet,
it?
You want to go meet in the same dungeon?
Yeah. It's an imagination thing, right? You just have to be kind of creative and.
It's basically group storytelling is what it is.
You know? We also have a bunch of panels going on too for D&D. So if you've never played before, you can go to a panel and learn all about it.
I think what's so neat is that looking for like-minded people rather than one, you know, you think of a person who's tucked away someplace flipping the pages of a comic book or sometimes, you know, playing a game in the darkness of night, you know, with other people out there. That this is really a social where people sit around and enjoy each other's company and, you know, same interests, same sort of pursuits. I think that's got to be wonderful.
We actually have a few fan meetups. Actually, I think Cameron's hosting a fan meetup, aren't you?
A
Final Fantasy one?
Yeah. I think I was slotted into that, as a kind of an emergency thing. But, I'm planning on just getting out there to wherever they need me. So I'm pretty sure I'm there for one.
So for the fan meetups, people just kind of, there'll be a specific thing and people just kind of go into a room and they just chat about their thing that they love together. So Final Fantasy, they just sit there and they'll talk about all the games or characters and just get to know each other and bond over this one thing that they all have in common that they like.
Talk about some of the presentations. You said there'll be a panel on D&D, Dungeons & Dragons. What are some of the other presentations?
So some of the other ones that I know of that I'm very interested in is we always have one person that comes that does cosplay, like how to make your own costumes.
Okay.
So the Cosplay 101, and she did a Cosplay 102 last year. I'm not sure if she's doing that again this year.
So you have a shirt designed for this year. Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
Yep, we do. Sorry.
No. I interrupted you, and sort of blocked. You were talking about the person who comes in and
the costumes.
Costume person.
And we've got someone that is going to do effect makeup. So anything. Like, you know, the really crazy makeup with like gory or like monsters or all kinds of things. She's gonna do a
cool
thing on that. And we've got.
Will there be things there for people to do their own faces?
I don't believe so. I think it's more of a listen tutorial kind of thing.
Gotcha.
We've got a lot of different just people talking about their knowledge. So we've got some authors that are doing like writing and world building. Just all kinds of things. If you can think about it, it probably has a panel. We've got a vast array
What's world building? I just love the way you throw out these phrases, Tara. You know that.
Cosplay and world building.
Yeah, cosplay, world building.
So it's probably more prevalent in fantasy novels or maybe even sci-fi novels. So you create a world that you're talking about, you know, like Lord of the Rings, like Middle Earth would be world building, things like that. So
how do you make these, you know, fully realized worlds that feel authentic, but they probably operate by rules from that are different from the world that we live in, you know?
The rules generated, let's say, with Lord of the Rings from the books themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, how far can you push?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. What are you doing Saturday, Jack?
Well, you know, I was thinking of going camping, but now that having looked at the weather forecast and talking to our guests here, maybe it is time. Maybe it's a good day for indoor activities.
Yeah, I would say so. And we also do have outdoor activities too. There's a whole league of people here that are into what is known as boffering. Which is
more words.
Yeah,
spelled B-O-F-F-E-R-I-N-G.
Yep. Okay. That's right. And that is essentially they are competitive sort of melees, but they're fought with padded weapons, so foam or padded weapons. And I remember last year we had one particular young man that was just boffering all day, and yep, that's right. Yep. He was having a total blast. It turned out to be one of the highlights of his year, I think. So
and it's harmless.
Yeah, it's completely regulated. My husband helps with the league here, and just North Idaho Boffering Alliance, and he's also doing a panel of how to build them. So you can build your own boffers and how to make sure that they're safe and regulated. And they can get really cool and crazy. People recreate their favorite weapons from video games and stuff. You got anything from like maces to cool swords to people get really creative with the duct tape. So
what's the etymology of the word boffering?
I do not know that one. I always thought it was weird.
Yeah. Hey baby, you want a boffer? Let's take a break. We're here with Tara Milheim and Cameron Rasmussen. We're talking about Sandemonian this Saturday at the Forest Bird Charter School. Let's just play this song and everybody just enjoy it.
We're back. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. What was that, Jim?
Neil Hefti. Whoa. And that, of course, is the Batman theme.
Uh-huh.
And, is Batman going to be there? Is Batman a favorite?
I would probably put good money on somebody showing up as Batman. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised. So, yeah.
But he hasn't been quite as culturally relevant in this decade as he was in the last one.
There have been some of the Batman movies have been quite excellent, and I still think Heath Ledger doing Joker has got to be one of the most incredible, you know, taking a character. I've always loved the Joker,
yeah.
And, but this Joker was just really off, you know, walking down the street in the nurse's outfit with the buildings blowing up in the background.
That's
got to be a wonderful moment. We're here with Cameron Rasmussen and Tara Milheim talking about Sandemonian. One more time, who, what, where, and why?
Cameron Stern.
Oh, yeah. So it's coming up this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Forest Bird Charter School. And it is just a convention for everybody to get together and check out some vendors, go see some panels, and just really experience, indulge all of their nerdy interests.
Is there going to be food?
We will have food on site. We're going to have Tacos,
yep.
And also the Twisted Kilt, and they'll have their food trucks there.
Yep.
So people can... Last year I had breakfast from Twisted Kilt, and I had lunch from Tacos, so it worked out just fine.
It's perfect. And actually, Twisted Kilt is completely gluten-free, and he's always adding things to his menu, not just the waffles. So that's always really nice, because a lot of people have got the food stuff. So even though we're so far away from places people can walk to eat from the convention, we've brought people in so that you don't have to go anywhere, which is really nice.
So 9 to...
9 to 4. Yes.
Okay. And everyone is invited, whether you're a nerd or an aging nerd or a post-nerd, a pre-nerd.
One thing I would like to mention is that it is $2 to get in, and if you could have cash, that would be wonderful, because we had 1 year with a card reader, and it was just too much. It did not like it.
Yeah,
all the small transactions.
It decided to stop working halfway through the event.
So if you could bring cash, but it's only $2. You can find that in your car.
Okay, what are some of the vendors? What do they provide?
They are always specialized in different types of merchandise. So, you know, one vendor might have board games with them. Another might have, you know, T-shirts with all sorts of, you know, comic or anime characters or anything like that, really.
We have a lot of artists. So anything that you can make, a lot of it's just fan-made art from your favorite things. You know, anything from like Doctor Who to animes or whatever. We've got one person that she makes like little ears and tails, and she actually takes... she takes commissions to make full-on fursuits. And
what fun.
She was in Sandpoint for a little while. She was the badger that would go around. She'd be in, like, the parades and stuff. But they moved to Oregon this last year. She comes back.
Yep, she did our artwork.
She did do our artwork for our poster.
I saw your poster. It's really neat. Next year, bring one up, and we'll put it on our door to the station.
Not a bad idea. Yep. We'll have to do that. A lot of really talented people out there that just contribute their time and energy to this because they really, you know, love that it is a thing that we have in Sandpoint. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. So you just have to appreciate how many people are willing to, you know, go through a lot of effort for no pay whatsoever just to make sure that this happens every year.
Yeah. Can you tell me anything about Ceylon and Cyanide? The classic shop of steampunkery.
Oh.
It's on your website.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
I do. It took a minute. I was
Oh, God, what is he asking?
So many names go through your head, and you're like, which one is this?
No, steampunk. Yeah, that's a genre that's really been... gaining some popularity. I almost said gaining some steam. and I would have felt horrible about that. But you see it, especially at Sandemonium, a lot of people showing up in steampunk-inspired outfits. Has a very distinct aesthetic to it. So, and I think it's pretty cool.
I agree. It is kind of neat. I've always wondered where was ground zero for steampunk? Where did that take off?
Jules Verne, right?
I think it's so. Kind of, it started with writing. So just that, that world building of what if the world, you know, went this direction instead of the direction we went kind of thing. So,
right.
And it just took on a life of its own like it does.
Yeah. Are you guys, what would you say the two of you are particular fans of?
What's
your favorite, what do you go to Sandemonium for?
I go to Sandemonium to see all the cool creative things people have done. Just even the people that come in with the cosplay and their contest. Because we do have a cosplay contest too, as well.
What time will that be?
And I think it do. You have to check in by 2. Oh, is that right?
It's later.
I would have to double check the schedule, but it's later. Check. It's later in the day.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. That the winners will be announced in the closing ceremonies. But everyone, you go on the main stage and get to show off your costume, and they get judged on. And there's a kids event too, and we've had some really great ones in there. So I like seeing all the creative people and the vendors and things like that. So,
but that's one, that's one that it really does bring out all ages. Where we do have the kids costume contest, and that's really cute. But then we also have a lot of teenagers and young adults that come out and really, a lot of them with really, really impressive, intricate costumes. And so it's amazing to see how much creativity goes into that alone.
Who won last year? Or has there been one in the past?
Oh, yeah. We've definitely had them in the past. And I don't remember the names of the winners offhand.
Do you remember who they were dressed as?
I remember one time we had a woman who must have been in her 20s, and she was dressed up in a kind of like a Wicked Witch type costume. Do you remember what I'm talking about? And she, but it was, I think, from that show on ABC. What's it called?
Oh,
Once Upon a Time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
Yeah, so it was like a Snow White type Wicked Witch or Queen type thing, and that was really elaborately done. I mean, it was this like corset and dress and everything with really intricate bead work in it, and it must have taken forever to make. So,
That's what's been wonderful about the cosplay stuff is just how much effort has gone into them, like how detailed they got for it. One of my favorites was actually the second year of Sandemonium, and there's a little girl, and she's dressed up as Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service, which is an anime, a Studio Ghibli anime, and she just looked so perfect. She just looked just like her. And she was my favorite, and I was really upset when she didn't win anything. Because, of course, I'm not a judge, because she would have won everything. So,
Cameron, you go for the anime?
I'm not actually a huge anime fan. There are just certain titles that I really love, like Cowboy Bebop.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Studio Ghibli, I mean, they produce some of the greatest movies in the world, irrespective of whether they're animated or not. And, you know, a variety of other titles. But, you know, I'm not subscribed to Crunchyroll or anything where the real anime fans are. But I am. I do love a variety of fantasy. You know, I read Lord of the Rings when I was like 11 or 12. And ever since then, that's been an interest of mine. And also, I like a variety of games, you know, so, stuff like, recent games like The Witcher 3, things like that. A lot of the very, story driven, type video games out there, I've got a lot of interest in. And it's, it's a medium I think that's growing more and more sophisticated in how it tells its stories and how, you know, artists within that medium can express themselves. So I think it's an exciting time for something that's still relatively young as a medium.
Can you back up for somebody who might not know what anime is? Mm. Can you define that?
So that's Japanese animation. There have been a lot of popular entries in that particular medium over the years. You know, in the 70s, you had Speed Racer. Then when I was a kid, it was all about, you know, people love Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that.
How about Lone Wolf and Cub?
Lone Wolf? No, I've heard of that one. And yeah, that's right.
God, that sort of dates me.
One of the big ones right now that I watch is Fairy Tail. So that's another one that's a bit more on the mainstream.
So somebody could just go to this sanatorium and have an education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn a lot about this. You know, we hear about gaming and whatever, and we go, ooh, this scares me, or I know very little about it. And this is an opportunity to come and be educated and see what nerds look like today.
Yes. We're very friendly. Everyone teaching our panel should be very nice and accommodating, and it's all very open and like welcoming.
And, you know, and it's a place for everyone, whether you're a small kid or coming with your family, or you're a teenager, or you're, you know, going all the way up, all the way, indeed, older. You can, any decade that you happen to be in your life's journey, you are welcome there. So,
I'm gonna go.
Yeah, and Jim, you are you're gonna go for the comic books, right?
That was my first love. I think I have about between 30,000 and 35,000 comic books. And they're not here, though. They're back in Billings, Montana. When my brother bought my house before I moved here, the agreement was I had special shelves made in the basement, and that's where they are housed. And but they're not in order. So if I ever bring them here, I'm gonna need to hire some younger people who want to be paid in comic books but it's a different world now, you know, with the movies. And when I grew up, the most perplexing problem for Superman, I was a DC kid, was his secret identity and Lois Lane always wanting to try to find that out, or Jimmy Olsen. And now it's, I went and saw about a year ago, the Batman Superman movies, and they were just throwing each other into buildings. And I'm wondering about collateral damage. Yeah. What about the people who live in those buildings? You know, but it's a different world now. And but I grew up with I loved Batman, and I loved Superman and Robin and those characters. How about you, Jack?
I was also a DC, more of a DC fan than Marvel, and also a comic book fan. Although I think I now have a more of an appreciation for Marvel and what they did in when they came around in the early 60s, kind of developing the actual character of the characters rather than just the look how strong Superman is. You know, he had more of a personality to it. Yeah. Which you got to respect. But then DC kind of caught up with that and they said, oh, this is how you do it. You have to actually give them, Batman and Superman can't just talk and act just like the other one does. They have to be two distinct personalities, too.
I've never been, I don't know about you guys, but I've never been a real major fan of the groups like Fantastic Four or the X-Men or the Legion of Superheroes. I like the individual characters because too oftentimes when it's a group, you have people get, how does the group get along? You know, what is he going to do with his superpowers that's going to impact?
Have you seen The Avengers, Jim?
No, I haven't.
What? Has everyone else seen The Avengers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Come on. Look who you're talking to, Jack.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, these days, going to see those movies is, you know, it's kind of a cultural thing.
And, yeah, that's very mainstream. That's not nerd at all.
Now, do you do them in 3D or regular? When you go.
I don't really have a preference, but all things being equal, I'd prefer to just go see him in 2D and not pay the extra money.
Yeah, that's me too. I have a hard time keeping the 3D glasses on top of my own glasses, so I just rather not, you know, handle it.
How was the recent Black Panther movie?
Oh, it was very good.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved it.
And Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah, that was good.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. I did go to see that with a few friends of mine. It was, I would say that I'd put it probably in the middle of the pack, but still a fun time. Yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, I am not a fan of the movies, but that could be more. I did like the Wonder Woman one.
Oh, that was really good. Yeah.
Maybe it's because of her. I don't remember her name as the lead. But I always liked Wonder Woman. I always wanted to have bracelets that deflected the bullets and whatever. And then that lasso.
Yeah,
great stuff.
I was just really excited to have just a female movie, you know, because it's
without a bunch of
So it's always been like Batman or Superman or the Avengers, where you have like Black Widow and that's it. So to have an entire movie where it's focused around a female superhero was just amazing. So I really enjoyed
but
that
but
too.
I have to admit, I'll never forgive Marvel for I love the Daredevil series done by Frank Miller from about Daredevil 159 through about 190 something, when he killed off Elektra. You know, I thought Elektra was, she was a ninja assassin, and but Daredevil fell in love. They had a relationship in college. You know, I bought all that stuff in. You know, and when Bullseye kills her off in that issue, and the way it's done.
Yeah.
If anyone has any questions about the art and the narrative of storytelling, you just got to take your hats off to them. And of course, Neil Gaiman was Sandman.
Yes.
That whole Sandman series.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Talk about artwork and storytelling and everything coming together, and that lasted for about 80 issues, I think.
Yeah.
And then 1,000 spin-offs from there.
And now you can just get the whole thing. In one book or you know, several books. So I do like Neil Gaiman a lot, and so
I haven't read I haven't read many of his novels though. How do his novels hold up?
They're great.
So wonderful.
They're great. American Gods, I really like. Neverwhere was one that I really enjoyed. I don't think I've read anything by him that I didn't care for.
That hasn't worked.
Yeah.
And actually, Stardust is one of his that they made into a movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Right. That's right.
It's a rare writer who does make that transition from starting in comic books to now a widely... highly critically acclaimed and popular mainstream fiction novelist.
I met him once. At a Comic-Con in Washington, D.C., and there were other things going on, and he was sitting at a table by himself while other people were in a big room, and I had arrived late, and he autographed a couple comic books for me with a gold liquid pen, you know, that...
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is, and... I'd be hard-pressed to find them right now. They're someplace hidden away in a box in a basement in a house in Billings, Montana, waiting to be unearthed. But again, we are here with Cameron Rasmussen and Tara Milheim. And in conclusion, we've got another song to play. We could talk more.
We sure can. I'm trying to think if I had any other questions for you. You have guests. We have. Oh, is Thanos going to be there? Do you think?
There's a
possibility. Be. We might even see like just an Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, probably so.
It's one of the fun things to do is just to show up and see how many people you can identify, how many characters you can identify. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. Let's make plans, Jack.
Okay.
I do want to stop by and
We could play Dungeons and Dragons together.
That would be totally new to me.
We should give it a try.
We should record it, and then some week when we're not here, we'll just.
Oh, my character will probably last about 30 seconds. Oops, you stepped into the wrong hole.
Into the pit of despair.
Anything in conclusion you guys would like to say about Sandemonium this Saturday at the Forest Bird Charter School, Highway 2 and Division? Follow the signs, beginning at 9:00. And what would you like to say in conclusion to folks out there?
Well, I just hope that everyone considers coming out. We're working hard basically to make this as fun of an event for as many people as we can, and we're just really excited to see everybody out there.
Yeah, we just really want a lot of people to have something there for them. So we tried to get as vast amount of stuff going on as possible so that there's a little something for everyone. And if for some reason something's not there that you want to see, just let us know and we'll try to get it next year.
And there's always the tacos and the tilted kilt whatever. what fun. Thank you guys so much. And we'll be seeing, I know I'll be there on Saturday. And let's close out with Crash Test Dummies as a song called Superman Song. And let's give that a play. I had a lot of stuff queued up. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Tarzan wasn't a ladies' man. He'd just come along and scoop him up under his arm like that. Quick as a cat in the jungle. But Clark Kent, now there was a real gent. He would not be caught sitting around in no jungle scheme. Dumb as an ape doing nothing. Superman never made any money for saving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Hey Bob, Soup had a straight job. Even though he could have smashed through any bank in the United States, well, he had the strength, but he would not. Folks said his family were all dead. The planet crumbled, but Superman, he forced himself to carry on. Forget Krypton and keep going. Superman never made any money for saving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Tarzan was king of the jungle and lord over all the apes, but he could hardly string together four words. I, Tarzan, you, Jane. Sometimes when Soup was stopping crimes, I'll bet that he was tempted to just quit and turn his back on man. Join Tarzan in the forest. But he stayed in the city, kept on changing clothes and dirty old phone booths till his work was through. And nothing to do but go on home. Superman never made any money saving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him.
That is Crash Test Dummies with Superman's Song. And really, that goes out to Phil Huff. Tuesday morning co-host on the Tuesday morning morning show. He's a big Crash Test Dummies fan. And
yeah.
So,
why are all the songs about Superman sad, Jim? There's a few songs about, well, there's one that you have queued up that's not, but that's not really about Superman.
No, but you're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Superman is alone. Here he is, been brought down to this world, and he's isolated, that he does things, he can fly, he can just crush things with the power of his superpowers. He's not of this world, and as a result of not being so, in one sense, he's a sad character. The kind of joy, but I think it's got to be a heavy burden to be the savior of mankind.
Over and over again.
But, you know, that's what I loved when I grew up in the 50s reading Superman and action comic books. We would go over to Aunt Betty and Uncle Vic's house on Indiana mm-hmm. Avenue in Mishawaka, and they let their three sons, you know, we had to read at our house Little Lulu and Tubby and things like that, you know, but gosh, to sit in the closet after dinner with the mm-hmm. light on and the adults downstairs talking away, you know, we'd sit there, ooh, and great mm-hmm. memories. Do you have great memories of comic book time?
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, I remember when I was kind of up at the family cabin, there was a big chest of comic books. There were two, and then there was the one that had like Casper the Friendly Ghost and Richie Rich and stuff, and that's what you like were allowed to start with, and then later on you could kind of graduate into the Archie comics and then the DC and
Riverdale High.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes, totally a great time. And in they were all old comic books. I mean, the comics I was reading was probably the same that you were reading when they were new. Mm-hmm. We rarely went out and got new ones, but...
But, you know, the thing is that people say, oh, I wish I had the comic books. Darn my parents, they threw them out when I... Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is that about value in comic books, condition, condition, condition. And when we were kids, we would roll them up in our back pocket and stuff them down. Mm-hmm. And exactly the things that they were meant to be, they were meant to be loved and read and reread, are exactly the sorts of things that make them to a comic book collector today. You know, having less value. So just cherish the memories of them. And when you come across them, cherish them again and reread them again. They still hold their charm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're great stories. They're tons of fun. What do we got here?
Well, we've got a lot of good things happening. Tonight, we're going to begin with live music on the patio at the 219 Lounge on First Avenue. Live music with Bridges Home, Sandpoint's popular singer-songwriter duo of Dave and Tammy Gunther from 8 to 11. And this will be their debut at the 219 Lounge.
Is that right? Yep, they've been around for a long time, but never played
this
there.
Is their debut. They finally got to First Avenue. Doobie doobie.
Yeah. We have, in addition to that, don't forget this weekend, continuing at the what's it called? The Heartwood Center. Continuing.
Oh, yes. Blind Panic.
With the Unknown Locals. Doors, I believe, are at 6:30 and the show is at 7. And I haven't seen it yet. I was going to go last weekend and I didn't go. I'm ashamed to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
But we will...
Two more opportunities this Friday and this Saturday. And you're absolutely correct. No, the doors open at 7.
And the show's at 7:30.
It's 7:30. Mm-hmm. And that is the 24th and 25th at Heartwood Center, 615 Oak Street. And then... on Friday, we have more music at the patio at the 219 Lounge. And this is a Spokane-based Working Spliffs. From 9 till midnight, this five-piece band features a horn section, two bass players, versatile guitar work, and harmony vocals. So that ought to be fun. Mm-hmm. And that is from 9 till midnight at the 2. And of course, as we always say, the music here on a weekend, and it's even moving into the week on a Thursday, on a Friday and Saturday, one can be so busy. The Wine Bar on Cedar Street Wine Bar hosts live music by Ron Cressone and the Rinaldos.
There's a pop-up open mic night.
That's tonight.
Looks interesting to me. At Sandpoint Literary Collective's pop-up open mic night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Pondere Winery. Pour out your own pieces or simply revel in those crafted by your friends and neighbors. It's a writer's open mic night. 5 minutes to muse the masses. Admission is free. Participation is open to the public. That could be cool.
That absolutely. Anything that promotes creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nothing like having an audience.
Did you know that football season is starting, Jim?
Yes. Oh, I'm already nervous. I'm a nervous wreck about next a week from Saturday, the 1st of September, my beloved Irish take on Michigan. Uh-huh. And I'm concerned.
You have concerns. Well, the high school football season starts this Saturday. The home season opener is at Memorial Field on the 24th. You can go see some varsity football.
That's Friday, not Saturday.
Oh, sorry. The
24th
the Friday
is Friday.
The 24th. Whoopsies. Right. Friday Night Lights. What was I thinking?
There you go. And then into Saturday, we've got the Movie in the Park. Bonner County History Museum hosts Movie in the Park, held at dusk in the Lakeview Park. The movie this week is The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. And that ought to be a well worthwhile and fun. And it says special show date is Saturday this week to avoid conflict with the Friday night football game that would be played in the adjacent field.
So sure.
The Greatest Showman, and the admission is free and concessions will be available. So
The Farmer's Market, of course, continues.
Yay. And good stuff is, vegetable gardens are producing hand over fist.
Yeah. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday in Farm and Park and Bridges Home. If you didn't catch them at the 219
tonight,
you can go and see them at the Farmer's Market on Saturday during the day. Sandemonium, of course, which we just finished talking about at the Forest Bird Charter School from 9 to 4.
And want to thank both Cameron and Tara for taking time out of the busy days. I'm sure that they're running around trying to get the show on the road.
Yeah.
And we appreciate them. On Saturday, a walk in the woods. Discover all that Pine Street Woods has to offer the community during a walk in the woods, scenic walk on the future Pine Street Woods property. This guided hike is led by Kinnicksu Land Trust's executive director. Meet at 9 a.m. at Selkirk School at 11014 West Pine Street. So, a walk in the woods.
The Junior Ranger program at Round Lake is at 3 p.m. on the 25th. Round Lake rocks! Come learn about the geology of Round Lake State Park. That could be kind of fun. The Junior Ranger program. Gotta like to promote that.
Absolutely.
There's a 13th anniversary party at Laughing Dog Brewing out at 805 Schweitzer Plaza Drive. They are 13 years old. Live music by Melissa Forrett from 4 to 6, and Mandala Pizza is on site. Their anniversary beer will be released on tap as per tradition. Go to laughingdogbrewing.com for more information about that.
That is Saturday, and as well on Saturday, IPA Live Music. Idaho Poor Authority at 203 Cedar Street hosts live music on Saturday, 5 to 7, with David Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And there is a dance and potluck picnic hosted by USA Dance. It's from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Sandpoint City Beach this Saturday. At the basketball court, dance lessons are included. Bring a potluck dish to share if you wish to eat, and it is open to the public. Put on your dancing shoes. That could be fun.
Absolutely.
There is more going on, including hot August nights at A&P's Bar and Grill, live music at the beer hall, the 219, the winery, and a full moon cruise on the 26th. But we don't really have time to talk about
and
that
more,
right now.
You can find out more information about all of these events and more events at Sandpoint Online. Just go there and check out all of the different events happening in this community. This is quite an amazing community. And tonight on 88.5 KRFY at 7 o'clock, Dusty and Americana Backroads. And then at 8 o'clock, live from the Divide from Bozeman, Montana, live music. And then 9 to midnight, KRFY Folk Show. And I'm not going to do mine live. I'm going to do one of my evergreen shows. Just going to take a break because I have over close to a year's worth of evergreen shows. I could go away for a year and still have that show going.
Almost a year.
Yeah. Almost a year, you're absolutely correct. But lots of good things happening. Go to krfy.org to get our program schedule, as well as We Travel Well. So stream us wherever you are.
Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.